Loving God, open our ears to hear your word and draw us closer to you, that the whole world may be one with you as you are one with us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. The Turcotte Exchange, the Champlain Bridge, Rue Barrée, Orange Cones, one lane only this weekend. Sorry, you can't get there from here. For several years now, we here in Montreal have been enduring what seems like an endless burden of road closures and detours, congestion, and long, long commutes over short distances. You can look around and see construction projects, large and small, in almost every corner of our city, and as good Montrealers, we groan and complain and push our way through yet another frustrating day in what seems like a crumbling city. In our gospel today, Jesus and his disciples are walking through Jerusalem at just such a time. The temple is under construction. There are probably road closures and detours and congestion. The disciples, as they walk by, say to Jesus, "Look at these large stones. Look at this grand construction project." It seems the disciples are impressed with the size and the beauty of the temple. They seem impressed with the wealth and the magnitude of that kind of a project. Jesus interrupts their pride in the infrastructure project to challenge them with a shocking statement. Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. Here Jesus predicts the destruction of that very temple that is in the midst of being built. He predicts what will eventually happen in the year 70 CE, a horrific act of imperial domination that shook the foundations of Judaism and has had lasting impact on that community of faith. But then the scene quickly changes from downtown Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives. Maybe they had a detour. Maybe there was a blocked road. And they're up there on the Mount of Olives, and from the Mount of Olives, you've got the most perfect view of Jerusalem, the best place to see the temple in the middle of its construction. And still reeling from Jesus' words, the disciples want Jesus to tell them, when will that destruction happen? What are the warning signs? Did they really know what they were asking? Did they think that they could stop it? Jesus refuses to give them a date and time, but instead warns them to pay attention, for the end will come, and the reign of God will arrive. Pay attention. Jesus teaches us to pay attention to the signs of the times, because the old is ending, and something new, the long-awaited birth of something new, is coming. This reminds us not to ignore the ushering in of the reign of God, for that is what Jesus heralded, as did his cousin John the Baptist before him. But what are we to do in the meantime? Sit quietly in church waiting? Are we simply to rest assured that, well, we're Christians and everything will work out in the end if we just keep doing what we've been doing for 20 or 30 or 100 years? I think Jesus seems to be saying to us, no. There is something we need to be doing in the meantime. Pay attention. I believe our lesson from the Hebrews offers us some clues for what we are to do. In fact, three things. First, to approach God in faith. Second of all, to remember our baptism. And number three, to provoke one another in love and good deeds. So, to approach God in faith, what does this mean? This means that we are to continue to trust God as the ground, the very foundation of our being, to trust in the God who is the source of all that is, to remember that God is love, and that love is so great and so amazing that it caused the whole of creation to come into being. And that love gave up its own life for us so that we could have an overflowing life. God is love. Second, to remember our baptism. In our baptism, we become members of Christ's own body, the church, a community of faith, a radically equal member with all the others, gifted with grace and marked as Christ's own forever. We are not alone. In our baptismal liturgy, we pray one of the most beautiful and incredible prayers over the newly baptized. I think sometimes we forget it, so I'll remind you, it's on page 160 in the green prayer book. In that prayer, we ask God to grant 5 different things: to sustain us in the Holy Spirit, to keep us going, to give us inquiring and discerning hearts, to use our minds, to use our intellect, to ask questions, to pay attention. Third, for courage and the will to persevere. Our mission as a people of God requires us to be courageous. Fourthly, a spirit to know and love God, to seek God, to always look for God. And finally, the gift of joy and wonder in all God's works, that in all of creation, in all of the differences, to be joyful in all that is. Pray this prayer if you struggle with your faith in that God of love. It reminds us that we are not alone. And finally, to provoke one another in love and good deeds. That's interesting, isn't it? To provoke in love, to irritate one another in love and good deeds. This means that we are to remember that God is love, that we are to live our lives in the knowledge of that love, and that God's love is for us and for the world. This will not only move us to love God, but to love ourselves and to reach out, to be provocative, and to love others. This is what we are to do in the meantime. Not to complain that, well, Jesus must have just gotten it wrong and the end times are not near. Nor is it to obsess that the end of times is just around the corner and we better all get right with God. Not to fear the end of all things. Jesus reminds the disciples that the destruction of the temple is just the beginning of the birth pangs, the end of one thing and the beginning of something new. So as we sit here today in this beautiful old building, a building that needs a little work, a building that needs constant maintenance, what is it we do in the meantime? Between the announcement of the coming of the reign of God and the end of all things, we are to irritate one another. We are to provoke one another in love and in good deeds. What exactly is provocative love? What is irritating love look like? Well, I think a provocative love is that kind of love that moves us out of ourselves, that feeds the hungry, that clothes those in need, that changes our old ways so that the gospel can be heard in our own day and time now. And when we provoke ourselves and one another in love, we remember how God brought Israel out of Egypt and how God to this very day is working to liberate oppressed peoples. That's provocative love. And when we remember how God chose a young, unmarried, lowly Jewish girl to bring Jesus into the world, that's a provocative love. And when we remember that Jesus loved us so much that he gave up his life and died on a cross for us, that is a provocative love. And when we remember that God's deepest desire for all creation, all of us, is for shalom, that's a provocative love. And when we pray and when we worship, we remember these things. And when we stand up for, be counted about with, and work for peace and justice in our communities, in our streets just outside that door, we remember these things. At the end of our service today, we're going to sing a really beautiful hymn called Tell Out My Soul. It's a hymn that's based on the Magnificat, the song that Mary sang after the angel told her that she would give birth to Jesus. That hymn reminds us of God's provocative love for us and for the world. My favorite verses in that hymn are the last two. And when we get to this hymn later on, I want you to really pay attention to the lyrics, those lines in verses 3 and 4. And I really want you to sing out your faith. I really want to hear you sing these lines. They speak not only of God's provocative love for the marginalized and the oppressed and the hungry, they remind us what we stand for as Christians, what our mission is, what our purpose is, and what we are to do in the meantime. Tell out my soul the greatness of his might. Powers and dominions lay their glories by. Proud hearts and stubborn wills are put to flight. The hungry fed, the humble lifted high. Tell out my soul the glories of his word. Firm is his promise and his mercy sure. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord to children's children and forevermore. My brothers and sisters, that is a provocative love. I offer these words in the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.